This is Lancer Radio coming to you live from the beautiful Pasadena City College campus where you're with Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Fair warning, my guest is going to scare you.
That's worth a try.
It certainly is. I'm talking today with Matt Carter, who is a horror, young adult, and sci-fi author, and Matt has promised to read from his latest book. So, Matt, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, well, the book here is Splinters. It's dealing with a small town in Northern California called Prospero that is being insidiously invaded by a race of shape-shifting monsters that can take on the forms of anybody in town. And the main characters are Mina Todd, who is this young girl who's lived in this town all her life and knows the secrets, knows these monsters, and has been fighting them with every fiber of her being. And Ben Pastor, this good, honest kid who's just brought in out of town and has been thrust into this world of nightmares and horrors. In this scene, they have been spying on a party being held by the titular Splinters, the shape-shifting monsters of this world. They have been caught, and they are running through the forest and trying to get away. Mina put her hand on my chest, forcing me to stop. "Listen," she said. I stopped. I could hear the faint sound of the wind rustling through the trees above us, the faint snapping of a pine cone falling not too far away. But other than that, dead silence. "It's quiet," I said softly. "No," she said, "not that. It's almost like..." Her eyes widened, and before I could ask her what was going on, she clapped a hand around my wrist and pulled me into a nearby thicket of bushes. Less than a second after we were completely concealed, I could hear them. The low, droning beat of wings. A faint beam of moonlight penetrated the trees nearby, allowing me to see the horrors that had been sent after us. There were three of them that I could see, each about the size of a basketball, each with massive, dragonfly-like wings that fluttered and hummed as they weaved their way through the trees. It was only as they passed through the light that I could see what they really were. Spare parts. A hand, a foot, an extra head, parts that the bodies no longer needed, given wings and sent out into the forest as scouts to better track us down. They had probably sent dozens off in every direction. The head and the foot flew away, bobbing and weaving into the distance. The hand landed on a tree no more than 10 feet away from us. It crawled up and down, its seven fingers making scrabbling, scratching noises as they fought for purchase on the bark. Two far too human eyes on stalks jutted from the severed wrist, looking around as if they sensed something. Its wings twitched. I tried not to breathe. The hand shuddered, arching its back as a set of small holes broke through its carapace. At least five small, bright red snake tongues flitted through, tasting the air as it tried to find us out. It must not have liked what it tasted, though. The tongues retracted, it flitted its wings heavily, and once more it was off buzzing into the forest. Once certain we were safe, we stepped silently out of the bush and continued through the forest. I could hear them in the distance, stalking, searching for us, but they had lost their fury. They were organized now, planning things out. We would have to wait for them to close the trap and then hide again, as close to its edge as possible, to let them pass right over us as their drones had. Then we could make a break for town. That was the plan, anyway. We had just made it to a crossing in a shallow river. With moonlight glimmering off the water, I was trying to figure out if it was shallow enough to walk across, or if we would have to use a nearby fallen tree that spanned the river as a bridge. It was then that we heard the inhuman roar of rage and frustration in front of us. There was a sound of great violence as if trees were being ripped from the ground, and a few seconds later a boulder the size of a Volkswagen was hurled from the trees before us into the river. The thing was coming right for us. I looked at the boulder in the water, trying to gauge how deep it was. When I heard the creature's pace quicken, I decided the answer would have to be deep enough. It was my turn to lead Mina by the wrist. I pulled her into the river, the icy mountain stream shocking me as it splashed around my knees. I pointed under the fallen tree. Mina understood. She dove beneath the downed tree. There was a narrow gap beneath it, but she could keep enough of her head above water to breathe. I dove in after, half swimming, half crawling, as I squeezed in beside her. I could barely, just barely, keep my nose above the water and stay concealed. The water was cold. Too cold. We couldn't last long here. We couldn't see it, but we could hear it as it came out of the forest. Its growl was low and deep and mixed with that popping, clicking sound they made when they talked. As it searched the banks of the river, I could vaguely see it walking on four long, powerful legs ending in clawed hands. It soon came to our log, and for the briefest of moments, I hoped it would walk on by. There was a dull thud as it experimentally touched the log. Then another. A scratching sound. My heart started pounding heavily. It felt like it was trying to move the log, trying to pull us from our hiding spot. Any second now, it would find us and... another thud. No, it wasn't trying to find us. It was trying to do something worse. It was walking across the log. Its heavy footsteps above us strained and splintered the wood. Its scrabbling, clawed feet fought for purchase as the log bowed slightly under its weight. And then it stopped, right above us. It had found us. I knew it. This was it. One of its long, three-fingered claws came into view, dipped into the water in front of us. At any moment, it would grab my shirt and pull me free. I hoped that Mina, at least, would be able to make a break for it as those claws dug into my chest. They came closer, closer, and then they curled together as the hand cupped water and retreated above the log. We listened as the splinter heavily slurped the water and then bounded across the log into the forest where we had come from. I waited a few seconds, but the forest stayed silent. I pushed out from underneath the fallen log. Mina, shivering heavily, soon followed. "We gotta get out of here," I said, through painful, chattery teeth. "Get warm, hypo." "I know," Mina said. Normally so tough, so strong despite her frail frame, it was almost painful to see her like this. I pulled her closer to me as we both stumbled through the forest. Though I half expected her to push away, she didn't fight me. Under the circumstances, warmth was warmth. I thought hard, trying to remember if we still had the emergency kit in the back of the SUV. There should have been some thermal blankets in there, thin but capable of reflecting the body's heat back in, something which might help save. One of them was leaning up against a tree right in front of us. The man in the dark hoodie we had seen at their party. The Reaper. His vaguely insectoid face stared at us curiously with four shimmering black eyes. Glossy black quills poked through his sickly green scalp where he should have had hair, and where his mouth should have been was an ungainly mess of muted worm-like tentacles. Horrible though his face was, it was his left arm that truly held my attention, that long, curving sickle of bone jutting out from the stump that used to be his wrist. It was utterly lethal-looking, and if he decided to leap at us with his powerful, grasshopper-like legs, I'm sure he would have taken us. Instead, he cocked his head slightly, and the corners of his mouth contorted into what could have been a smile, and said in that popping, chittering splinter voice of his, "Run."
Wow. You have just heard the talents of Matt Carter reading from his new novel, Splinters. Matt, you had me literally holding my breath when you had the creature reaching into the water to get a drink of water.
That's the idea.
When we return, I would love to hear a little bit about the process of writing this in collaboration with Fiona. Do we have time to start on this one? We may not. No, we don't really. Okay, checking here, and we do not. So we're just going to take a break right now. We'll tell you that Splinters is coming out, we hope, a year or so from now. We don't have a definite date, but Cheers. Autumn of next year, 2014.
Here's hoping. Yeah, we're hoping for a Halloween release. It all depends on our publisher, though.
But we will keep you posted on that. So you and I are listening to Matt Carter today as he read from Splinters, book run one of the Prospero Chronicles. I cannot talk today. In collaboration with FJR Titchener, fellow author, PCC student. She's also his wife. And a very talented, beautiful lady. So we'll be looking forward to seeing that from them when we come back. We're going to be talking a little bit about the collaborative process and any advice that you have for writers. This is Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Back in just a moment on LanserRadio.org.